Sabbath blessings, everyone. Dwayne, can you ask Alvin for me? I can't do it now, but if that was Josh Groban singing, we can't. I'm going to get a copyright strike. That guy, he sounds like Josh Groban. I don't know if it is, but we can't take that chance. Oh, it's not Josh Groban? Okay, thanks, Alvin. Boy, the guy's got a beautiful voice. It was really nice. All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for what we have lived through the last 3 or 4 weeks. And thank you for letting us know decades in advance as to what's happening. Right down to the cashless society and all the other strange things that they're doing with the government and the martial law and everything. We thank you for letting us know what we're looking at and what they're planning. And so please keep us safe, as we know you will. Thank you for the peace that you give within us, because we know just by looking at all this that you are in control and we're ready to go home. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost that don't even know what's happening. Somehow, some way, Father, they need to hear the truth. And we want to go out there and do it. Like Isaiah said, Lord, here we are. Send us. And so please bless us in every way possible so that we are ready and able to receive the latter rain to go forth in the loud cry. And we offer this prayer out to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. You guys are hearing a squeaky sound? Might be on your end if you're the only one hearing it. Oh, you're hearing the birds? Yeah, because we got a lot of birds outside. We got a bird feeder out there. Yeah, but I can't hear him, and I've got the gain way up on the mic, because I don't want the mic right by my mouth anymore. It's annoying. It's hard to read things. But you can no doubt hear the furnace, I'll tell you that. Yeah, spring's in the air yesterday. Okay, thanks, Dwayne. All right, so the guy's name is Junjun in the Philippines that sang that song. We'll probably get a copyright claim either way. We won't get a strike, but every single service, they come up with some goofy reason to put up a claim, and I could appeal it or whatever, and they ignore all that, so I don't even bother anymore. It's a waste of time. They want to take the ability away to monetize, but what they don't realize is I don't monetize. We don't do it anyway, so we're not in it for the money, so... But the part I don't like about that is how when they take someone's monetization away on a video, that means they could put their commercials, anything they want, on there. Okay, thanks, Brother Alvin. So not only is the man that sang it, Seventh Day Remnant, he's also it was an original song that Brother Alvin composed. And so... But all the other songs, like the hymns and the kids singing and stuff, yeah, every week they come up, they pick one or two or three, and they say, hey, there's a copyright claim. It's an algorithm. It's, in other words, it's just a way for them to make money so that they can remove the ability from the people to make money. And so that's the main reason I never monetized in the first place, other than the fact that we never asked for donations anyway. I don't think that's right to put that out there like that. Like sell books. You know, unless you're selling them just for the cost to print them. But we don't print them. We just get them from vbates.com. But we pay for them. But still, we give them out for free. She can't afford to do that because that's an awful lot of books that she puts out. Okay, so as promised, this Sabbath, we're going to look at how Rome describes their seal, or their sign, or their mark, if you will. But first of all, let's look at how the Lord seals his children so that we can better see Satan's counterfeit. In Revelation 7, verses 2 and 3, Revelation 7, verse 2 and 3, it says this: And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the sea and hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And so in other words, the seven last plagues are not going to start until probation ends, until they pass the law to enforce Sunday keeping. And so in other words, for those of us that really dig into the sanctuary study or the prophecies themselves, they're not going to, or the Lord's not going to send the seven last plagues until Jesus himself drops the censer. And the only time he'll drop that censer is when the angel that went around, like the angel that stands next to you with the ink horn, and like, say, if you say something bad, he writes it down. If you don't confess it, there it is, it stays. You know, and so, because we're judged by every idle word, or if you think a bad thought, or you do something evil, or you lie about somebody, whatever, any kind of sin whatsoever, the angel with the ink horn is there, you know, recording it. But if you don't confess and repent it, it'll still be on you, and then you'll end up getting the mark because you don't follow the Lord's will anyway. But so, the last person on earth that receives the seal of God, because the angel's gone about, the other angel, you know, the ones that know in regards to who's going to receive the mark and who's not, and who has, better yet, who has received it and who hasn't. When that last person on earth is realized to be the last one that will ever be sealed by God, the angel reports to Christ. And it doesn't take him long to go from here to there, because if you saw what happened in the book of Daniel, when before Daniel even hit the ground, when they threw him in the lion's den, before he even hit the ground, the angels went to heaven, told the Lord what was going on. The Lord gave him instructions to close the lion's mouth, or all of the lion's mouths, and they returned back to earth to close the mouths of the lion before he even hit the ground. So the minute the split second the last person on earth receives the seal of the living God, the angel reports that to Christ. And at the speed of thought, that's the only thing I can think of, you know. Like the speed of light is still going to take them forever to get there. Well, not forever, but you know what I mean. And so then Christ drops the censer. He puts on the robes of vengeance. He steps out of the most holy place, puts on the robes of vengeance, and that's it. Eastern sky splits. Plague seven's falling. The plagues are beginning, rather. And he's on his way to split the eastern sky. So did you notice, though, that it says the Almighty seals the people, the Lord seals the people in their foreheads? You know, this is why most don't remember being stamped, sealed, or marked by God when they become truly saved and begin to walk as he has written they will walk, in the prophecies as well as in the law. When God sealed us in the forehead, it was not a mark on the forehead like a tattoo, and it certainly isn't a computer chip under the skin, because he's God. He doesn't need the help from mankind to seal anybody. All right? And why would he do it? I mean, seriously, why would he use it? I mean, I don't recall God doing that to me years ago, nor will you find a single Bible verse to back up such ideas, like the very chip. They go out there and they say, you know, they put it under the surface of the skin to track people. I mean, they could use that to enforce it, like track where you're at. Well, you can just get a razor and take the thing out. It's not a big deal. In fact, I was saved by the Lord over 35 years ago, in fact. I started looking into being saved, you know, 18 months before that. So it's been a while, and that was long before the computer age was so plainly upon us. I mean, simple truth is, as we learned last Sabbath, the forehead represents the mind. And notice the following verses. Isaiah 8:16 is the first one I'm going to share. Isaiah 8:16, it says, and thanks again, Brother Sean and Warren, and everybody that helps out here on the stream as well as in the room, and welcome everybody on WTPR. I hope you can get in, because I know Brother Anthony was saying he couldn't get in, but before I could see if he answered my question, we started here, so I couldn't tell. But obviously it doesn't. It is working, because we got probably like 80 people in there right now, according to the bandwidth. So, alright. So, but yeah, Isaiah 8:16 says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." But yet everybody says you can break the commandments. You know, this is what's amazing too when you think about it. They say, don't kill anybody, don't take my wife from me, don't covet my toys. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. They even go that far. This is, oh, you got it out of mom and dad. You know, they just rattle off all the commandments. When it comes to number four, yeah, you can change that one. When that's the one he said to remember. That's the one it literally said. So it's just like what you see today going on with the so-called plandemic. You know, they're telling people, and I think the overwhelming majority of the people out there, most people aren't stupid. They know what they're doing. Well, they don't know why they're doing it or what they're doing. They just know it's not true. Because I put up that blog, or not the blog, but the community thing, and I'm thinking of doing another one too. Because 95, 96% of the people say, yeah, we don't know anybody that's got this so-called virus. And then I've also got the videos that show that they got caught lying on camera. But my point is that they don't, even though everybody knows it's all a lie, there's really nothing you can do about it. Because, I mean, hence the reason they made a show of force with all those tanks. You know, to show even the militia, if there is one, if there was a militia, why didn't they show up at Waco? But still, you know, if there is a militia, they're not stopping any of this stuff, you know. And this is why, by the way, it makes it easier for people to understand now why they want to take your guns away. I don't think, you know, it's a lot of people have guns, but I know a lot of people that don't, too, because it's, you know, it's all a matter of faith here. So, but anyway, the next verse I want to share is 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Did I just read the wrong one? Oh, yeah, and let everyone know the name. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yeah, I didn't finish it here. I just took the front part of the verse. And then Hebrews 10:16. And then here's the clincher. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. In other words, our day. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts. See, that's why, you remember when Jesus said, it's by their fruits you shall know them? Somebody comes up and says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and all this other stuff. And then you ask them, well, do you keep the Ten Commandments? And they'll say, no, you don't have to. It was abolished at the cross. That proves they're not Christians. They don't realize they're not Christians. They may be heading towards Christ. They may want to be a Christian, but they haven't gotten to a point where they have given him lordship. They haven't really decided that he is their Lord yet. Because if they were, he would have put their laws in, his laws into their hearts. And the verse finishes, and in their minds will I write them. So there's your connection with the forehead. As I stated last Sabbath, scientists have recently mapped the human brain, and they know that the frontal lobe, or the cerebrum, I guess that's how you call it, cerebrum, which in layman terms is, you know, the forehead, they know that this is where functions like decisions, judgments, and free will are made. This is why a lot of people have issues in this area. People have issues with sex, they have issues with overeating, and they have issues with anger, because all three of those emotions, if you want to call them, or characteristics or character traits, are supposed to be in the two hemispheres of the brain where you have plenty of time to think about it. But the snap decision things is the forehead. And when you have, like, when you eat bad foods, like, or bloody meat, you say, oh, it's a clean meat, the Lord said I can eat cows. Yeah, but he said don't eat the blood, because it fevers the brain and it pushes the areas of the brain forward that you're supposed to use the back of your brain for certain things, like eating, sexuality, and your character, like anger or meekness or whatever. If that's all pushed forward to the frontal lobe, then you're going to be oversexed, overeating, and a tad bit angry. And so, that was proven years ago. I got it somewhere on the site with the doctor. There's an actual scientific paper that showed, because they mapped the human brain, and they watched how, depending upon the diet, where the person uses the brain in regards to this type of stuff, like, you know, free will or decisions. And this is why a lot of people, that's why they make sure that the foods are toxic. You know, they got all these additives in the food. And of course, they tell you that, I remember when I was a teenager, they were saying pork is America's new white meat, you know, instead of chicken, you know. I thought, well, that's odd. So anyway, going on, we the people of God are sealed by God when we make the free will decision to accept Jesus as our Savior and His Word as undeniable truth. And that's the same way it's always been. When the devil used the Ten Commandments against the people of God, it was always a decision. There was no tattoos or computer chips in Esther's day and in anybody else's day in the past. I mean, this then causes our lives to be affected by His doctrine, His teachings, and most importantly, His commandments. Now, let's take a look at how the beast does it. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. Because you know, the devil is going to emulate Christ. It's just, and the things that the Lord does, or even the Father does in heaven, because He wants to be worshipped as a God. And this is why the leaders of the world have to be under in one accord before the death sentence that they had already passed can be actually enforced, when they're all in one accord. It's just like when the apostles were finally in one accord, they went forth to help save souls. So when the evil men of the world are finally in one accord and agree, yeah, okay, let's just kill them, they go forth to kill souls instead of save souls. And so there's always that emulation. You always got to find, it's always going to be there everywhere you look. And so check this out. This is Revelation 13, verses 16 to 17. It says, "And He caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark." Just like the Lord, you know, doesn't cause, though, but He gives everybody the free will, who's great, rich, poor, free, bond, whatever, to receive the seal. Well, the devil does the same thing, to receive a mark, but he does it in their right hand or in their foreheads. And then he goes even further to say that no man can buy, so that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so a lot of people still think the 666 is the mark of the beast. No, it's the number of the man's name. It's. But anyway, in this verse, we now see that the mark of the beast is not only being received in the forehead, because these people made the free will decision that Sunday is the Sabbath, even though it's not. There's not a Bible verse to back that up. And we already know that the forehead represents the mind, so that's where they make their decisions. So this means, and even if they don't have a fevered brain, that's where you're supposed to make decisions. That's how the brain is set up. But when you start pushing parts of your other hemispheres into the frontal lobe, you're going to have issues. And this is just the way He created us. And this is one of the reasons He said, don't eat these certain types of animals or whatever, because, you know, God didn't redesign us. It's just like if you bought a car in the 60s and they told you to put gasoline in it, you don't get that car and rebuild it and you know, make it look great and hot rod it out and then put milk in the gas tank. I mean, it's just, no, it's got to have to be the same way it's always been. So this means the people with the mark of the beast in the forehead have made the free will decision, thinking it was perfectly acceptable to replace God's law with man's traditions, just as it was prophesied. But what of those that receive it in the hand? Well, truth is, much of mankind is not likely to freely go along with the beast's plans anyway, right? I mean, there's going to be a large portion, at least, if you want to think about it, there's going to be at least 1.2 billion Catholics and every Protestant. I don't know how many of those there are. And then, of course, the SDAs are going to go ahead and agree that Sunday should be kept, because they already got dozens and dozens of Sunday-keeping churches now. And so there's going to be a lot of people. But then you got a bunch of atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, and Jews. The Jews are already all, by the way, keeping Sunday holy. And then they also passed a law a couple of years ago that you can legally break the real Sabbath. And so, yeah, we know there's going to be billions of people that are going to go ahead and make the decision to receive the mark, but there's going to be billions that are not going to go along and agree with it. And so they receive it in the hand. And So the beast in Rome has to rely on the use of force here. This is where the hand comes into play. I mean, notice how the hand is defined in prophecy. It's in Jeremiah 38, verse 23. Jeremiah 38, verse 23. And then, of course, Ecclesiastes 9, I'm going to go into next. But 38:23 says of Jeremiah, "Thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. And thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire." So, and yeah, there's a lot of prophetic, futuristic, you know, statements made by Jeremiah that we're going to see today, because Babylon is still around. It's the Roman Catholic Church. And so they're still going to force people like they did in Jeremiah's day. And so this is just going to be the norm. This is why it's so important to read the Bible every single solitary day, so you don't miss any of these little prophetic innuendos that are in the scripture. But then look at Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And so, in prophecy, the hand represents being forced against our will, or, as well as the ability to buy or sell, or work, as Ecclesiastes 9 just put it. 9:10, verse 10, just put it. And as we all know, Jesus is never going to force himself on us. He prefers we choose to worship him out of our own free will. He didn't create robots. That's fake worship. Satan just, see, he doesn't care if it's fake worship. He doesn't even care if you break his Sunday Sabbath. You just got to say it is the Sabbath. He doesn't care, because he's not all about really making us truly worship him. He just wants us to break God's law, to take worship away from Christ. He doesn't care how the people do it, as long as they do it so that he can get them in the fire with him. That's his main thing, because he's already lost. He already knows what's going to happen at the end of that 1,000 years. He already knows. And so this is why he only seals in the forehead, where the decision is made in the mind. You know, the Lord, when we prefer to choose to worship him, he's only going to seal us in the forehead, because he's not going to force us to worship him. That's just not right. So in the revolt of heaven, 2/3 of heaven made the right choice. However, 1/3 made the sinful choice and fell along with Satan. It's in Revelation 12:4, by the way. I mean, even our first parents had to make a choice. If you think about it, I mean, just as the forbidden fruit in Eden was a choice, the forbidden mark of the beast is going to be a choice for us. See, this is another thing that, you know, the prophetic innuendo goes all over the place in the Bible. You know, so this stuff just lights up. You know, it comes up off the page and opens your eyes. I mean, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, they were also given a choice. You know, the choice, of course, was, you know, you have to bow down before Nebuchadnezzar's 90-foot golden statue, or you're going to get thrown in that furnace of fire. In all cases, we see that these choices had a life or death consequence. And these choices dictate as to who you choose to obey. Adam, Eve, Daniel, and the three worthies, even Esther in her day, and Mordecai, they had this choice, you know, to worship God or worship man. Because worship just means obey, if you think about it. And this is always the devil's main attack, method of attack. Why would he choose a different method when all his past efforts worked so well? And in fact, Satan used the law again when he moved the popes to kill over 500 million Christians between the years 538 AD and 1798 AD. They refused to break command number 1 and 2 by bowing before the Eucharist set up by the Roman Catholic Church as a god on earth, worthy of worship. So Satan's been testing the grounds here. He, of course, like I said last night, didn't use commandment number 4 ever in the past. He preferred to use commandment number 1, 2, or 3 so as to, you know, figure out where all the loopholes and the problems were, so that the ace up his sleeve was number 4, because when you keep number 4, you acknowledge that God is a creator. But if number 4 is changed, then you're replacing the creator with the creation, you know, mankind. Because if you trust the Pope instead of the God that made the Pope, well, then you worship the creature over and above the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen? And so the choice is soon going to be placed before all living souls on earth, and this is why you see the tanks and every nation on earth, you know, doing this fake pandemic, so that the powers that be, they have to know, we got to be ready. We got to be able to handle and control every single solitary individual. And if we can't, well then, you know, we're not going to be able to enforce this mark, even though they don't realize that's what they're doing in the background. Because, yeah, they're Satanists, but even the devil's not going to tell them some of the, you know, some of the real reasons he's doing stuff. And so this beast will seek to use force against those that won't make the decision to worship him right off. This is why the hand is mentioned here. You know, Satan's going to use force against God's people by removing their ability to work so they can't buy and sell. I mean, look what he did now. No one can work, right? You got to stay home. So right there, you're seeing a harbinger of what he's going to do in the coming days. Everybody said you can't work. Now, they're giving them money and stuff like that, but they're not going to give you money in the future. They're just doing it now to make sure that, hey, can we really get everybody to stay home? Can we really force the people by an on an individual basis? And I'm thinking, like me and Fran were talking about this morning, you know, I'm thinking, or we're thinking, that they're not going to lift these, they're going to keep on acting like there's more and more people dying, even though we've got videos showing that they're saying, yeah, the hospitals are jam-packed, people standing in line, and then somebody that lives in the neighborhood comes up there and takes a video, and there's no one in the hospital. You know, they're going to keep on faking this stuff until they make sure they can empty the streets of every city in the nation. Because this is where the mark of the beast is going to be enforced first, in America. So if they can get all the streets empty, then they'll go, okay, we're flattening the curve, it's all going down, everybody go back to work. Because now they got, it's a done deal. That's what I'm wondering, if this is how what they're waiting for. Because there's a lot of small towns and villages and cities out here that, no, people are out there doing whatever they want. And that's upsetting them if you see some of the news reports. But anyway, getting back, that choice is going to be made on everybody on the planet. So let's say you refuse to go along and lose your job or your business, you know, in the coming days when they enforce the mark, right? Or what if Satan seeks to force you to buy things in ways you think you need? You know, one example could be if your faith is weak in trusting Christ to feed you during this time, as he promised to do in Isaiah 33:16, when he said that, you know, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. So if you don't trust Christ to do that because you haven't looked back on your past or you've forgotten what he did for you in the past, I mean, case in point, what Fran was talking about earlier about how in the children's story, I mean, come on, there was a pillar of cloud right there and they're still blaming, you know, Moses and say, oh, you left us out here to die or something. I mean, they had, like Fran was saying, a wall of water on either side of them. They're walking through this and still they think God's not going to be there for them tomorrow. See, this is one of the reasons I keep a praise list. And we do these testimony services. It's to help the people to remember what he's already done. So when it gets really hairy, you can look back and you can say, wow, he's done this for me in the past. I know he's going to do it for me tomorrow. Because if you change your mind and say, you know, there's a possibility he won't, like the Jews did in the desert, well, then you're going to die in the desert. You're not going to go into the promised land. So think about this. Satan's going to dangle food before the people to tempt them to purchase. You know, your stomach's growling because the Lord didn't say he's going to give you a big 7-course meal every single day, and you might not even eat every day. You might go 3 days without food. And if you're a Christian, you know what it is to fast. So it's not like it's going to kill you, but your appetite, and if you don't believe appetite is a major tool in Satan's toolbox, explain why Jesus fasted 40 days to overcome the flesh. And if you still don't think appetite, if that doesn't get you, well, what caused the first sin of mankind? Yeah, Satan got Adam and Eve to eat a fruit they weren't supposed to eat because it looked pleasing to them. And so he's going to dangle food in the people's faces or get them to stand in line at FEMA. So he's going to make you think this is your way, your only way, when you're hungry. And the Lord's watching you now. That angel with the inkhorn standing right there, waiting to see, are you going to be sealed of God or are you going to get that mark of the beast? You could be the very last person, and then Christ drops the censer, plagues begin. And so Satan's going to dangle that food, but in order to purchase the food, you must go along with the Roman mandate, receiving the mark in your hand by doing so. I mean, remember what Jesus said in Luke 17:33? He said, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I mean, since we understand making the decision to accept Jesus as Savior, as well as accepting his teachings, which include his law, is the same as being sealed or marked in the forehead by Jesus as one who is saved and or marked with the seal of approval by the Creator, we must also understand that accepting the doctrines, teachings, or traditions of the Roman Catholic Church that is directed by men who in turn are directed by Satan. I got plenty of videos showing they're actually worshiping Satan in the Vatican now. This would mean if you bow to them and do because they scare you, they stick a gun in your face, and it means you got the mark of the beast if you're afraid to die. I mean, how many Christians, 500 million Christians died for their faith when the Catholic Church went out killing them. You know, we got to have that same faith. I mean, also understand there will be those that aren't Catholic or even Christian, but they were still going to do as the beast commands for fear of death or loss of their livelihood from not being able to buy or sell anything unless he or she had the mark. Those that fear losing their ability to buy and sell, well, they're going to be bluntly making the decision to accept the demands of the beast over and above the commandments of the Lord. And so there's going to be those that receive the mark of the right hand because they're forced against their will. And the forehead wasn't marked because they did not decide to agree with their own free will. They only got it in the hand. And so, I'm going to have to finish this next week because I went a little long here. And so I apologize for that. But I'll pick it up. We'll pick it up here next week because I don't want to. I just noticed if I continue on with my notes, it's going to take another half hour. So I should have cut it short. I messed up there. So anyway, if you can. Let me just drop the mic. We're going to have some music here. Then we'll come back with the sermon hour, which this Sabbath, like every once a month, the first Sabbath of every month, we have our testimony services. And so I hope and pray that you stick around and you share what the Lord has done for you the last 30 days. And if it's your first time, show us what the last 30 years. So anyway, all right, so let me drop the mic here.